Let's get our Bibles out this morning. And let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22, and verse 41. And we'll read down through verse 46 this morning. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 41 through verse 46. And the word says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?' They say unto him, 'The son of David.' He saith unto them, 'How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?'" Everybody said, "Lord."
"Lord."
"How doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord,'" those are capital L's there, "'Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool.' If David then call him Lord," capital L, "how is he his son?" Question mark. "And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man for from that day forth ask him any more questions." Just put him to silence with that one question. Praise God. Our God is an awesome God today.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you for the touch of your Spirit this morning. Lay your hand upon the message today. Stir our hearts. Help us to understand the Word of God today. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that this morning? Thank you for the touch of your Spirit today, Lord. We worship you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. The reading that we read this morning in Matthew chapter 22 is the setting here in the New Testament where Israel was the religious community of the day, and they were expecting their Messiah to come and save them. They had it wrong in some ways, but they were schooled in the law of the Old Testament, and in their minds, in the Pharisees, the scribes' minds, they had it all figured out. They had it all down in their mind. And these people, the Pharisees and the scribes and actually the whole nation, was a monotheistic nation. They were monotheistic in their faith. And we are monotheistic this morning in our faith. Somebody said amen. Mono meaning one, theistic meaning God, and if you ascribe to be monotheistic, then that simply means you believe solely and completely in one God. No additions, no subtractions, just one God. And they were monotheistic, and yet there were several scriptures that they somehow missed. And in missing those scriptures, they actually missed their Messiah. And so what we have to have this morning is an understanding, and it's got to be more than just an understanding. It's got to be in our heart that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Praise God. So it starts with an understanding, and I want to try to give us a little bit of that understanding here this morning, because we have to understand the Word of God, or in reality, we will miss heaven. Amen. We cannot believe in another God and be saved. We have to believe in the true God. Amen. The right God. And Jesus tried here to prod their minds, and was very successful at it, to think about who he was, or to contemplate this Messiah that was going to come, that they didn't know was standing right there in their midst. And he went back to the Old Testament in the book of Psalm, chapter 110 in verse 1. And this is a psalm of David. And it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And so David talked about the Lord. He said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And so he said, if David in spirit called him Lord, or if you want to play this thing of words here this morning, it means master, it means savior, it means God. They could have went to some of their Old Testament scriptures that they supposedly had a perception and understanding about, and they would have been able to answer the question. But if they were to answer the question, if they were to answer the question correctly, then they would have had to admit that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. Praise God. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want the Romans to come and take their place and for them to lose their job. Amen. Some folks will really hang on to their job no matter what they have to do. And the Pharisees and these folks were that way. They could have went to the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, and you don't have to turn there this morning. We're going to look at that here in just a few minutes. They would have been able to see what David was saying in the book of Psalms here, where the Lord said unto my Lord. They could have understood that the Son could also be the Father at the same time. Praise God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, and it says, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." And so the Son of David came through the lineage of David. The Messiah would come through the lineage of David. And so the Bible tells us here that Joseph and Mary was of the house of David, or of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And the angel declared here that the child born would be called the Son of God. And we could go down to verse 34. "Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost," everybody said, "the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so we could go into depth here this morning, and I want to go as far into depth as I can with the time period that we have here this morning. But that made God a Father. That made the Holy Ghost the Father of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we are talking about God Almighty, the God that spoke to Moses, the God that spoke to Abraham, the God that was known in the Old Testament as Jehovah God, the great I Am in Moses' day. They understood who he was, and we need to understand who he is today. Amen. God is holy. God is a spirit, the Bible says. Holy Ghost is not a name. Amen. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. But those are titles of one God. God is a Father. Amen. God became a Father when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and the child will be called the Son of God. Now you think about that this morning, and it becomes very powerful And it becomes very deep when we talk about this. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through verse 20. Let's turn to that. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. But while he thought on these things, this is Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so again, another scripture that lets us to know that the Holy Ghost was indeed the Father of Jesus Christ. Or simply put this morning, the God of heaven who created all things became a Father. Amen. I know that's very elementary here this morning, but there are some that try to explain the birth of Jesus Christ and the sonship that he possesses, and they have come up with an extra biblical term calling Jesus Christ the eternal Son of God, and that he existed with God in eternity, and it wasn't until the virgin birth that Jesus was manifested in the flesh. But there is not a single place in the Word of God that tells us that Jesus was or is the eternal Son of God. Those are conflicting terms, and there are several reasons why this is impossible. Amen. Because if he was the eternal Son of God, then who was the eternal Mother of God? Amen. You have to think about that just a little bit. Because in order to be a son, there has to be a mother and a father. And we know that. And so if he was the eternal Son of God, then there would have to be an eternal Mother of God. And some have taken it to another level and have said that Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, was actually the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Amen. And so he was called the Son of God, and he was called the Son of Man at the same time. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And so for him to be the eternal Son, this is impossible for several reasons. John chapter 1 in verse 1, it talks about it, and it says, in the beginning, everybody said beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And so he cannot be or could not be the eternal Son of God because of those words that it brings out here. In the beginning. All right. That word comes from a Greek word that means a commencement. In various applications of order, time, place, or rank. Amen. And so in the beginning is actually the definition of that is beginning, the starting point. And so in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Everybody said God. In the beginning, God. And this becomes confusing to those that don't understand Jesus Christ and who he is. They think that this means in the beginning. In the beginning, there was God. But we've got to understand this morning that before the beginning, there was God. Amen. God is eternal, and that simply means and very profoundly means that God never had a beginning and God will never have an ending. You say, well, we don't understand that. There are some things about this that are a mystery to us. We see through a glass darkly, but the Bible gives us several places where we can look at this. But in the beginning, when God started all that we see around us, when God started the earth and all of the animals and the trees and the grasses and everything that God created, the Bible says everything was created by Him, and without Him was not anything created or made that was made. He is the creator of all things. And so at some point, God said, I'm going to start this. And some say that it was the very beginning, but God did not have a beginning. God has never had a starting point. Amen. God is eternal. He's the only eternal thing in the universe. Amen. They call the universe infinite. But the Bible says that it resides within the span of His hand. Amen. Our God is bigger than the universe. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because God created the universe. God made everything that is made. You say, well, what is at the edge of the universe? I don't know, and nobody else knows. Amen. But I do know this one thing, that when it began, God caused it to begin. Praise the Lord. I know I'm using very simplistic terms here this morning, but it is very, very profound as well. And you say, well, Jesus was in the beginning with the Father. That cannot be said, that Jesus was in the beginning with the Father and that Jesus was eternal at the same time. It's an impossibility. And so when God started all things, Jesus was with Him in the Word. Amen. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Personally, and I'm not critical at all of our Bibles, but I think that the very first book in the Bible in the New Testament should be the book of John, because it reflects Genesis chapter 1 and what took place there in Genesis chapter 1. But John chapter 1 gives us a little clearer, a more profound understanding of Jesus Christ and His work and His person and everything about Him. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't say in the beginning was Jesus. You say, well, Jesus is the Word made flesh. But let's look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and I'll show you here just a little bit why that's not possible. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now we know that Jesus Christ was slain at a particular point in time. Some say that it was on Passover Day in 33 A.D., somewhere in there, or 33 and a half A.D., is when Calvary took place. I tend to believe that, but how could it take place in a point of time and for it to also happen in the beginning? And so in the beginning was the Word. There was no begotten Son of God in reality. It was in the Word. Amen. The Word, the Logos of God, the thought of God, the plan of God. Amen. The thing that God was going to do that He had not done yet. Amen. And so we know that Jesus was not the Lamb. He was not slain at the foundation of the world, and he did not exist at that point in time in the physical man, Jesus Christ. Amen. But he existed in the mind of God, because the Word of God will stand forever. Amen. The Word of God is right. It always has been, and it always will be right. Amen. But the Word of God sometimes speaks of things that are in the future. Amen. That's why in our Bible we're so blessed that we have about 300 prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And some have put an estimate, which actually is that's all it is, that the odds of those 300 scriptures being fulfilled in one man is the odds of 1 to 1 with 32 zeros behind it. I don't know how big that number is, but it's an astronomical number. It's an impossibility. So what we understand now about God is that he speaks things into the future that have not happened yet. And Scripture says that about God. And so when we talk about the Word, we're not talking about something that necessarily exists at that point of the Word, but we're talking about something that will exist or something that will happen in the future. Praise God. I believe it's Jeremiah or Zechariah. I think it's Zechariah, where he prophesies and he says that he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and the money will be thrown down in the house of God, and it will be used to buy a potter's field. And that was about 700 years before it ever happened. And so what we can accurately say this morning is there was the Word, but the Word had not come to a completion yet. The Word had not come to a reality yet, but just hold on, amen, and hang in there. If God said it, it's going to happen. Praise God. And even if it's 700 years down the road, 700 years to God is just a blink of an eye, and it will come to pass. Praise God. And so Jesus was not slain from the foundation of the world in reality. He was slain at the foundation of the world in prophecy. Amen. In stating that which was going to come. And so when we talk about in the beginning was the Word, and then we see that the Word was made God, we understand that when the Word was made God, it was at a different time period than when the Word was spoken by God. Or there when it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. And so you have, it almost seems like conflicting terms there, that it was with God and it was God. But we can understand it a little bit here this morning, that each and every one of us have a thought process. Amen. There is a Word inside of us. Jesus said, out of the heart the mouth speaks. And so there are things in our heart that we're going to talk about, that are going to come to a Word, if you please. And so in the big heart of God, the heart of God that is full of love, amen, there was a Word that was waiting for the appropriate time. And the Bible says in the fullness of time. And so God waited until the right time to make the Word that was there in the beginning a reality. Praise God. And I say that this morning to say that Jesus never existed until the time of his conception. Amen. And the Bible says he was the only begotten. And so he was not begotten In the beginning, the Bible says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. Amen. And so there was no conception at the beginning. Amen. It was only in the Word. Praise God. The word beginning here means to cause to be or to become or to come into being. Amen. And by the very nature of the word begotten, and Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God, in order for it to be begotten, it had to become something that it wasn't before. Praise God. The begotten Son of God. And that speaks of a period in time. Amen. To cause to be. Well, we understand that God did not cause himself to be. God always was and always will be. Praise God. And so with that understanding this morning, there had to be a point in time that Jesus came to reality. He was there in prophecy. He was there in the Word, but he was not there in reality. Praise God. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise. Amen. We're talking about something that we've got to understand if we're going to be saved. Amen. And we'll look at those scriptures here in just a moment. But before Jesus was begotten, he was not here. I know that's profound. But he was not here before he was begotten. Some call him the eternal Christ, but he is not the eternal Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God. And before he was begotten, he was not here. He was only in the mind of God. And he had a starting point in the beginning, in the conception of Jesus Christ, and had a literal birthday. Amen. And for anyone to say that he is the eternal Christ and then had a birthday at the same time is not saying it right at all. That's like saying I've been around 500 years, but my birthday was 40 years ago. People would look at you and say there's something wrong with that individual. They don't understand English, or they don't understand what they're talking about. And so we can't call Jesus the eternal Son of God and say at the same time that he is the only begotten Son of God. Praise the Lord. And so his Father was God, and this made him the Son of God. And it made him God at the same time. And we're going to look at some scriptures here. Jesus Christ became the manifestation of God to the world for the purpose of Calvary. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son of God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, so on, eternal life or everlasting life. And so when we look at this, the Father of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, and we read it, was the Holy Ghost. It was the essence of God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and the thing that conceived in Mary was not human seed, but it was divine seed. Amen. And what is the seed that the scripture talks about in so many places? Jesus talked about it, and he said, a sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell on this ground, that ground, and the other. And the seed, Jesus said, is the Word of God. And so in the womb of Mary, there was the human aspect, but when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, the Bible says the Word became flesh. Praise God. I don't understand the scientific understanding of all of this, how that God and a human being could procreate a son who would become the Son of Man and the Son of God at the same time. I don't understand how that happens, but the Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. And so the Word had to be the thing that conceived in Mary, and so that child that was born had the DNA of his mother, which was of this, he literally became the son of David, and he was also possessor of the DNA of his father. And that's why he could do human things, and that's why he could do divine things at the same time. But not only that, we'll look at another scripture here in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, I think we all ought to be able to quote this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now we could just stop right there and dwell upon that for just a little bit. But God was manifest in the flesh. That means God was seen in the flesh. Amen. Now how can that be? How can God be seen in the flesh? God is not flesh and blood. God never was and never will be flesh and blood. The Bible says God is a spirit. And so the nature of God was in Jesus Christ because of the DNA of his Father. Amen. And it says that God was manifest in the flesh. God was literally seen in the body of a man who was his only begotten Son. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. Turn there with me this morning.
That's right. Amen.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Now, do we have two separate gods here? Or do we have the eternal God and the begotten Son of God? Well, I would say this morning that God, who was the Holy Ghost and is the Holy Ghost, amen, the God that became a Father was in Christ. He was in Christ in conception, and he was in Christ in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so the God of glory did not come like he comes to you and I when we receive the Holy Ghost. When we receive the Holy Ghost, when we are filled with God's Spirit, the Bible calls it the earnest of our inheritance. It is a little bit of what we're going to have a lot of when we get to heaven. Praise God. But in Jesus Christ, it is not that way, was not that way. There was not a limited amount of God, but it simply says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. But God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so God came this way to reconcile the world back to him. Amen. And how could there be more than one God? That would have to say that God, that the one true God is now inside of another God. But that's not the way it was. Amen. God was inside the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. He has prepared a body, and that body was prepared for Calvary, and the God that was in him, the Father that he spoke of so many, many times, was in him all the way to Calvary. And when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It shows us that he was the Son of God and that God was in him. And when he became the sin of the world, when he became sin for us, God, who was his Father, exited that body and the life that was in the Father and was in him exited out of him, and he cried and said, "It is finished." And Scripture says when it was finished, he gave up the ghost. Amen. But 3 days later, praise God, he rose again from the dead. And he's alive forevermore. But if the Jews that Jesus was talking to here would have understood their scripture, they would have gone to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7. And I told you we were going to get back to this one. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now you just have to look at this in a completely innocent way, and you can get a revelation of the oneness of God. Amen. Amen. "For unto us," now this is prophetic, this is the word that was there in the beginning that came forth from the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, "For unto us a child is born." There was not a God that was born, but there was a child that was born, and this child was a son. He was not an angel. Paul talked about that and said he could not be an angel, and he discusses all of that in one of his epistles. He was not an angel. He was not a God. Amen. But he was a man. And that means that he had to breathe the same air that you and I breathe.
Right. Right.
That means that he got hungry. That means that he fell asleep. That means that he had the possibility and the reality of death. Amen. But when you look at this child that is born and the son that is given, we understand that he is not the eternal Son of God. You could not be a son of someone else and be eternal, both of you together. It is an impossibility. And so the child that was born, the son that was given, it talks about him, and it says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Everybody said Wonderful. Counselor. Yeah, a lot of folks could fit into that, Wonderful and Counselor. But it goes deeper than that. The Mighty God. Everybody said, "The Mighty God." For this son that is given will be the Mighty God. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "If David in spirit called him Lord, how is he his son? How can he be the son and the Father at the same time?" Because the Father was God. Well, the next definition of his name or expression of his name is the everlasting Father. Now put that together with in the context of this scripture, a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And so the Son and the Father are both in the description of this child that is born. Amen. He would be a son, but he would also be the Father. Praise God. He would be one and the same, because to wit that God was in Christ. And so when Jesus did the works that he did, he said, I believe it's in the book of John, he said, "The works that I do, they're not my own works, but it is the Father that is in me that does the works." It was the Father, it was God Almighty that was working through the man Jesus Christ and tried to establish to Israel his identity as God who had masked himself behind a curtain, if you please. And in the Old Testament, he masked himself behind a curtain, and that curtain was the veil between God and men. Amen. It was an example, Paul said in Hebrews, that it is an example of the flesh of Jesus Christ. The veil was an example of the flesh of Jesus Christ. And so when he died on Calvary, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Some say it was a veil. It was in the temple, of course, and it was some 60 feet high and some 4 inches thick, was colored with blue and red and purple. And the blue represents the Spirit of God. The red was made, the dye was made from earthworms, which is flesh that out of the earth. And then purple is the mixture of blue and red. And all through the tabernacle, it was blue and red and purple. Amen. Signifying what was going to happen and what did happen when Jesus died on the cross and that veil was torn. His flesh was torn. He died on Calvary for you and I. And now it is not him, it is the God that was in him that is exposed. Praise God. And we can come into the presence of God. Isn't that exciting? Amen. The Son was the Father at the same time. And then we go to the text scripture this morning, and we have to look at him in a different way. How could he be his Son if he was Lord, capital L-O-R-D? How could he be Lord and be the Father at the same time? Well, I hope we're getting it here this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now we look at that, and he called himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man didn't have any place to lay down. He didn't have a house to live in at this point in time. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody's excited. Fallen convictions falling. Praise the Lord. Pray that boy through to the Holy Ghost. That's what he needs. Amen. The Son of Man. All right? That word there, Son of Man, means man-faced. It means a human being. And it's literally means a man. And so Jesus called himself the Son of Man. He said the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. Well, I don't think this morning that God has ever had difficulty in finding a place to lay down and rest. I don't think that God has ever rested in the sense of falling asleep. But Jesus was the Son of Man. And then he is called the Son of God. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. Amen. And so the Son of God is talking about deity. It's talking about supreme divinity. Amen. Supreme, or the highest divinity. In other words, God. He was literally the Son of Man, and he was the Son of God at the same time. Well, praise God. Amen. Both of the nature of God, the nature of the Son of Man and the nature of the Son of God came out in his life. We read where he fell asleep in the ship. But God does not slumber nor sleep, Scripture says. He became hungry and wanted to eat, but we know that God does not get hungry. Jesus died on the cross, and if he is and was the eternal Son of God, he could not have done that. Amen. In fact, if he was the eternal Son of God, I suppose that's where you get the divine flesh doctrine, that the flesh of Jesus was divine, and it was not, he was not a man, a real man, but he was more of a divine flesh. It has come up in recent years. This particular doctrine has caused much, much division and problems and things because it's not scriptural. If Jesus had divine flesh, He could not have died on Calvary for us. Amen. Because the death of Calvary was to pay for the sins of the world. And what is the penalty of sin? Scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so the penalty of sin is death. And so if he was of divine flesh, he could not take on the sins of the world because he was not a man. But he was a man, 100% man, praise God. And that's why he could come as a sinless sacrifice. That's the difference between him and us. Amen. And that would be the nature of God that was there at conception. He had the nature of both God and man at the same time. John 14 and verse 5. Praise the Lord. Hope somebody's getting something out of this. Amen. John 14 and verse 5. Jesus was talking about the Father this, the Father that. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there we have the go-between between man and God is the man Jesus Christ. And so if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And he didn't come right out and exactly say it as the way he taught with the parables and all of that. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. We don't understand what you're talking about, and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied if you'll show us the Father that you've been talking about for so long. Jesus saith unto him, and here is a great revelation of who he is. He said, have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. We have a revelation of the Word of God this morning. Not an extra biblical revelation, but a revelation of truth that came to us from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And he said, he went on down and was talking about the Father. And then in John chapter 8 and verse 24, he said, therefore, and I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And I believe the word he is in italics, and he's literally saying, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. This is very important. Young person, it's very important that you get the revelation. Amen. Because it makes all the difference in the world. And verse 27 of the same chapter, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And so literally Jesus was saying that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am the Father, you'll die in your sins. That's exactly what he was saying there. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for a revelation. Amen. How can he be his son? Well, just replay the message and you'll be able to get it. Praise God. How could he be his son? And in their Hebrew understanding and their Hebrew knowledge of Scripture, the Bible says it was so foreign of a concept to them that they didn't ask him any more questions. It was over. Praise God with that one question. Let's stand together this morning. And if you have questions in your heart and in your spirit, just call on the name of Jesus. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, you are calling upon the revealed name of God in the New Testament. He's our Savior this morning.
Amen.
He's your Savior this morning.
Right.
He's my Savior this morning. He's able to do anything. Do all in word or in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is God manifest in the truth. And when we embrace this truth, praise God, we embrace the one who gave the truth.
Amen.
We can't know Him without knowing His word. Amen. And I want to just ask the question this morning, do you really know Him today? I know we're here at church, and thank God for the church and the opportunity to come and worship the Lord corporately. Amen. But do you know Him? Do you have a revelation of Him? Do you understand Him? Praise God. Because if you do, then you can draw close to Him. But if you don't, He'll just be a foreign entity. As it was when I was a child, I believed in God, but I didn't understand anything about God. And as a child, I thought, God's a million miles away. He's so far out there, He'll never hear my prayers. I thought that about God. But I came to understand that when I was baptized in His name, filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. I'm telling you, I got a revelation one day of who He is. And it's changed my life. And it will change your life as well. Jesus is not the second person of a Holy Trinity, but Jesus is God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
To come and save us from our sins. Well, praise God. That's why when we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Matthew 28:19 says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, when we look at the scriptures that we've looked at this morning, the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. It's all in Jesus this morning. Amen. If you have a need, why don't you come right now and we'll pray for you, because I believe my God is able today to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Can we just lift our hands right now and thank Him for the revelation of truth? Thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Thank You for the blessings of God.